Today we have some Haridas Prabhu, the producer of Atma television series, which is broadcasting the message of Bhagavad Gita throughout the world, and one of the very senior and personal associates of Srila Prabhupada. Let us welcome him back to Sri Radha Gopinath. And we have one of the highlight stars of the Atma series, but this shining star did not become like this without much austerity. He was born in Pakistan. He was the leading preacher of Bhagavad Gita in all of Pakistan, which is not a very safe position to have. I remember one time there was a big mela, many, many people, Hindu people, in a very poor area of Pakistan. And Sarvabhauma Prabhu, I was sannyasi, he was grihastha. So he invited me to come and speak at that place. This is many, many years ago. So I went to speak, and I was speaking and he was translating. And after the lecture, everyone came to touch his feet. They didn't notice me. But he's taking on responsibilities in Vrindavan. He and Dina Bandhu Prabhu are directing communications for our society in India. And a very dynamic preacher. Sarvabhauma Prabhu, please stand up. Let us welcome Sarvabhauma Prabhu to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. And of course, we have the jewel amongst all pujaris. Prabhupada said the pujari is the most fortunate of all devotees because he is closest to Krishna. And the crest jewel of all such worshippers of Krishna is Jananivas Prabhu. Let us welcome him once again. I have a debt I have to pay today, because last week was Jayadev Goswami's
appearance day,
disappearance day. And Jananivas Prabhu requested me to speak on something about Jayadev Goswami. And I said I would, but the speaker, Tejas Prabhu, in his ecstasies of love for Prabhupada, he went on for many hours. So I agreed in front of the deities to Jananivas to speak something. So to speak something that is not true in front of a Vaishnav is a very, very serious mistake. So even though it's a week late, to keep my word, I will speak something with your permission. In regard to speaking the truth, There's a nice story regarding Srila Jayadev Goswami. Shall I tell? For those of you who are truthful, you will take great pleasure in this story. But for those of you who are not truthful, I issue a warning beforehand. Hari Hari. Jayadev Goswami, when he was quite young, he found his deities of Sri Radha Madhava in a river, Ajay River. And he worshipped those deities with such love and devotion. Although, being a simple Brahmin, he had virtually no material wealth, he was the most wealthy person. I'll give you an example of his wealth before I tell the story, so that you have time to escape if you don't want to hear it. There was a king. His name is Lakshman Sen. He was the king of the Navadweep area of Bengal. He had a minister of the name Govardhan Acharya. And Govardhan Acharya was singing these beautiful, beautiful songs about the incarnations of the Lord, called the Das Avatar Stotram. So Lakshman Sen was so charmed by this beautiful song. Keshavadrita kurma sarira jaya jagatisha hari jaya jagatisha hari jaya jagatisha hari Keshavadrita kurma sarira jaya jagatisha hari jaya jagatisha hari jaya jagatisha hari Tavakara kamala varenaka aduta sringa dalita hiranyakasibhu thanu bringa Keshavadrita narahari rupa jaya jagatisha hari jaya jagatisha hari jaya jagatisha hari. He asked Govardhan Acharya, who has written these verses? What a beautiful poem. He said, there's a very great Brahmin poet of the name Jayadev. So he very much wanted the darshan of Jayadev. So the king disguised himself as a very, very simple and poor devotee. And he came to the small thatched hut of Sri Jayadev Goswami. And Jayadev Goswami could understand this person's heart. So Jayadev asked, who are you? Now, you never tell lies to a Vaishnav, whoever you are, even if you're king. So he could not say anything other than the truth. He said, actually, I'm the king. My name is Lakshman Sen, but I've disguised myself in this way because I wanted to have your darshan. Now I'm inviting you. Please come and live in my palace and enlighten me in devotion to Krishna. Jayadev Goswami became very upset. He said, live in your palace? A palace? He said, you are a material materialistic person, completely addicted to materialistic things. I do not associate with materialists. He said, the fact that such a materialistic person as you, addicted to sense enjoyment, has come to invite me to your worldly palace, I am so disgusted that I'm going to cross the Ganges and leave your kingdom and go to Jagannath Puri. Now, most kings have some false ego. He could have chopped off the head of Jayadev for such an aparad. But the king started to cry with great humility and folded hands. He said, "Everything you're saying about me is right. I am a materialistic person. I am not worth seeing. However, dear Jayadev, please don't leave our kingdom, because your lotus feet is decorating and purifying the entire city. Please stay here. You have already stated that you're going to cross the Ganges. So I'll build, there's a beautiful forest filled with champak trees. I will have my servants build you a beautiful little cottage there, Bhajan Kutir. And you could remain there. And I promise you, I'll never come to see you. You'll never have to see me. But please do not take the benefits away from all my citizens by your association." So Jayadev Goswami smiled. He said, "I was only testing you. Actually, I understand now that you're a great devotee. You have no false pride. This is the quality of a great devotee, no false pride. You insult a devotee, and he's very happy and respectful to you. That's a sign of a very great soul." As was Lakshman Sen, a great soul. So Jayadev Goswami said, "I will accept your offer. I will cross Ganga, and I will live in Champak Hatha." And there, actually, you could come and see me anytime you like and give me your association. Just don't wear your king clothes. So he was living there, and he was worshipping Sri Radha Madhav, his deities. One day, actually every day, he would go out to the Champak forest, and his wife Padmavati, she would collect champak flowers, which are beautiful, golden complexion. Just inside of our temple, we have a champak tree. But it is not old enough to produce flowers. But within 1 or 2 years, you will see these extraordinarily beautiful, golden, fragrant flowers for the pleasure of Sri Radha Gopinath. So Padmavati would pick the flowers, and Jayadev Goswami, he would offer them as garlands, decorate their feet, decorate their hair. One day when he was worshipping Lord Madhava, the Lord manifested a beautiful golden form. His deities of Sri Sri Radha Madhava, they actually came together into one form, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. When Jayadev and Padmavati saw this beautiful form of Radha Madhava in the golden form of Gaurasundar, they fell to the ground offering their obeisances, and Lord Chaitanya picked them up with his own loving hands. And he said, "Jayadev, Padmavati, you are my very, very dear devotees. You have worshipped me throughout your life with pure love. Therefore, I have come to give you this darshan. You are living in the land of Navadvip. This is my abode. In this age of Kali, I will appear in this beautiful golden form. I am Krishna in the sweetness of the mood of Sri Radharani's love. And I have come to distribute this love to everyone and anyone without discrimination through the sublime process of Harinam Sankirtan. The Lord told Jayadev that you already told the king that you would be going to Puri, so you should go to Puri because Lord Jagannath is waiting for you. Therefore, you should go there. But I want to tell you something that is a great secret. I will live here in Navadvip for 24 years. Then I will take sannyas in Katwa. And I will travel to Jagannath Puri and make that my home. And every day while living in Puri, in the great ecstasy of transcendental love, I will hear your poem, Gita Govinda. Now you go to Puri, Jagannath is waiting. Then the Lord disappeared. And Jayadev Goswami and Padmavati, understanding the supreme glory of Navadvip Dham as the abode of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they did not want to leave. They were crying. They were thinking, why did we say this, that we would go to Puri? How could we leave Navadvip? It is the abode of the most munificent, merciful of all incarnations. What sins, what offenses must we have committed that we have to leave Navadvip Dham? We would have been better being born as insects or birds in Navadvip, so we would not have had to leave. But the Lord has ordered us to leave. So as they were leaving, they were actually trying to leave, but their feet just wouldn't even move from Navadvip. They were somehow trying to leave. Then they heard a voice in the sky. It was the voice of Lord Jagannath, saying, Jayadev Goswami, Padmavati Devi, you must go to Puri. Jagannath is waiting for you. And besides that, the Lord always protects the word of his devotee. You told Lakshman Singh you would go to Puri, so you must fulfill your word and go to Puri. You will live your whole life in Puri, but after you leave your body, you will live eternally in the association of the Lord in Navadvip. So as they were leaving, they kept looking back and looking back with tears in their eyes. And they went to Sri Jagannath Puri. As he was writing Gita Govinda, which is a literature of the highest level of spiritual substance. In fact, the great acharyas warn us that these pastimes of Gita Govinda have such intimate spiritual truths that they are not digestible to a person who still is victimized by many material desires. It's too pure. It is actually a literature for the highest level of pure-hearted devotees, like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Rai, and Swarup Damodar Goswami. It is not a literature meant for the general public, even amongst Vaishnavas. An example of the intimacy of this literature and the mercy of the Lord is Jayadev Goswami. He was in his deep meditation on Radha and Krishna's Leela of Vrindavan. He was actually visualizing and writing down the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. And there was a particular sloka that came to his heart, but he just couldn't write it. He thought, it's too inconceivable to write such a thing as this. So in his writing, he put down his pen and he told his wife Padmavati that I'm going to bathe in the ocean. So he left their little bhajan kutir in Puri and went to the ocean. At that, a few minutes later, Lord Jagannath disguised himself as Jayadev Goswami and came to the hut. And Padmavati said, what's wrong? You just left for your bath just a few seconds ago. How is it that you couldn't have possibly taken your bath this fast? He said, no. What happened is I was on my way to my bath and I thought of a very beautiful sloka to write in my book. So I didn't want to forget it, so I want to write it now. So he wrote it down. And then he left. And a few minutes later, the real Jayadev Goswami came to the hut. And now Padmavati was really confused. She said, well, how did you get back so early? He said, what do you mean early? It's not early. She said, you just left. He said, no, I left a long time ago. She said, no, you just left. What are you saying? She said, you came in and you said you forgot. That you thought of something to write and you wrote something in your book and you left. He said, I didn't do that. Where is my book? And he looked in the book and he saw a beautiful verse written by the hand of Lord Krishna himself, which describes how the power of Radharani's love is so great that when she was assuming a devotional spirit of anger toward Krishna, Krishna placed his head at the lotus feet of Sri Radharani to appease her. So this is the greatness of Jayadev Goswami. One time, he was living in a very simple cottage. He had practically nothing. And there was a festival coming up. And he wanted to offer something special to Sri Radha Madhav. So what he did is he decided that he would go out and travel a little to some other places. And he would recite poetry and people may give him some donations. And then he would come back and make a very, very nice festival for Sri Radha Madhava. So he did that, and he collected something. But on his way back, some dacoits, robbers, they actually caught him. They stole all his money. Then with weapons, they cut up severely his hands and his feet, and they threw him in a deep, dark well in the middle of a isolated field and so that he would just die. So Jayadev Goswami is laying in this well, many painful wounds on his hands and feet. And in that situation, what could a devotee do? He was in the middle of nowhere. So in all situations, good or bad, happiness or distress, honor or dishonor, pleasure or pain, victory or defeat, a devotee has only one shelter. So Jayadev Goswami was loudly chanting the holy names. There was no food, there was nothing.
Obviously he could not sleep. For 3 full days,
he was screaming out the holy names. For one who chants the holy name sincerely, Krishna always responds. Krishna is not different than his name. If a baby child cries to its mother, mother will go on with her business. If the baby child goes, then the mother may just look and smile and go on with her business. If the baby goes, then the mother may say, I'll come a little later. But if the baby goes, it's like sometimes they do like this during our classes. Then the mother comes running because the mother knows he's crying for me. So in the same way, if we chant the names of Krishna with great feeling, genuinely taking shelter of Krishna, then Krishna must respond. That is his nature. Aham bija pratapita. He is the most merciful, loving father and mother for all living beings. So as Jayadeva Goswami was crying out the holy names of Krishna in his utterly helpless condition, facing death, the Lord sent a king who was thinking he was on a hunting excursion. But actually the Paramatma directed him right toward that well, and he heard the screaming out. The king was thinking, what is this? So he went to the well, and there he saw Jayadev laying there, just ecstatically chanting Harinam. So the king personally brought him out of the well and brought him back to his palace, his kingdom. And he saw that he was a great saint. So he had his own queen arrange for Jayadev's wounds to be healed. And after some days, the king inquired from Jayadev Goswami, and when he heard him speak about pure devotional service, the king, his queen, his ministers, his family, they all surrendered to Jayadev Goswami and became his initiated disciples. This is another example of how sometimes Krishna puts us in a very inconceivable situation of crisis, but because a devotee is faithful and doesn't give up his devotional principles, in the end, that crisis becomes a great benediction. The king became a devotee, and the king was promoting Krishna consciousness throughout the entire kingdom. One day, these same dacoit robbers, they wanted to check out this kingdom. So they disguised themselves as Vaishnavas. Dhoti, tilak, like that. Kanti mala. They really looked like genuine devotees. Look. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that being a devotee is not a matter of changing your dress. It is a matter of changing your heart. Just like recently we were hearing Shyam Sundar Prabhu telling us about George Harrison. He was a very, very famous musician. And he actually, one day, this story was told by Shyam Sundar Prabhu, and also one of my godbrothers, Nanda Kumar, told this story to us. Nanda Kumar was then Prabhupada's servant. And one day he was sleeping in his room outside of Prabhupada's room. He was kind of laying down, and he was half awake, half asleep. And he heard a voice, "Is Shyam Sundar here?" And Nanda Kumar said, no, Shyam Sundar is not here. Come back later." Then he turned around and looked, and it was George Harrison. And he said, "Well, when is Shyam Sundar coming back?" He said, "Oh, would you like to see Prabhupada?" And George Harrison, he was very humble before Prabhupada. He said, "I don't want to disturb Srila Prabhupada. He's such a great person. I don't want to just walk in and disturb him." He said, no, I'll ask Prabhupada if he wants to see you. And George Harrison said, "No, don't disturb him. Who am I?" He happened to be one of the foremost famous people in the whole planet, but he said, "Who am I?" Before Srila Prabhupada. So Nanda Kumar said, "Just wait 1 minute." He ran into Srila Prabhupada's room and said, "George Harrison is here to see you. Would you like to see him?" Prabhupada said, "Bring him in." So George Harrison came in, and he offered his prostrated dandavat obeisances to Prabhupada and said his pranam mantra. And then he sat up, and Prabhupada said, "Please come and sit closer." And then George came a little closer, and Prabhupada said, "Please sit here next to me." Prabhupada was all alone in his room, but Nanda Kumar came in because he didn't want to miss this episode. So by Krishna's grace, he saw this exchange. And Prabhupada had George sit next to him, and Prabhupada put his arm around him and rubbed his hair. And George said, "Actually, if you like, I could join the temple and shave my head." And Prabhupada said, "There is no need for you to live in the temple and shave your head. You be as you are. And you, through your music, you enlighten people in Krishna consciousness." And he said, "And I will teach you how." And he picked up a book, songbook, with some of the songs of Thakur Bhaktivinod. And he started reading these beautiful prayers of Thakur Bhaktivinod and said, "In this way, through music, you can glorify Krishna." So becoming a devotee is not a matter of changing dress. It is a matter of changing heart. So these dacoits, they were in the dress of devotees, but their hearts were black with evil intentions. So when they came, who do you think was there to welcome them? Jayadev Goswami. They recognized him, and he recognized them. And he here is, on behalf of the king, he's welcoming them. So he treated them with such respect. Jayadev Goswami was so affectionate, loving, and gentle with them. He treated them in such a way, genuinely from his heart, that they would not suspect that he had any animosity, or perhaps he doesn't even know who they are in disguise. And he arranged nice feast of prasad, and he arranged very, very luxurious residential quarters for them to live. And as all the arrangements were being made, the thieves, they were thinking that he's tricking us. He's going to capture us. He's going to do something very bad to us. See, this is the nature. You see the world through your own consciousness. Prabhupada said, if you have rose-colored glasses, you see the whole world as rose-colored. And if you have yellow-colored glasses, everything's yellow. And if you have clear glasses, then you see everything as it is. So if you're envious, you see people as envious. You superimpose your consciousness on others. A loving person sees good in others. An evil person sees evil in others. Srila Prabhupada, who was Krishna conscious, he saw Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada explained what the basic essence of the mood of a preacher is. The essence of preaching is to see whatever little spark of propensity is in anyone's heart to serve Krishna. To look for that, to see it. And then with your heart and your soul, you dedicate your life to fanning that little spark and making it blaze. Because when that little spark of bhakti that may be in someone's heart, when it is fanned, when it becomes a fire, that fire of bhakti burns to ashes all illusion, all misconception, all suffering. So this is how a devotee sees everyone as an eternal servant of Krishna with the potential to become a great paramhamsa if they're just given the right association. So Jayadev Goswami actually loved these people. In his heart, he completely forgave them. He wanted to serve them. But these people, they were thinking that Jayadev was an envious rascal who wanted to punish them. So they told that we can't stay for prasad, we can't even stay a minute. We just wanted to come darshan of the kingdom. We have to go immediately. So Jayadev Goswami was so kind that he told the king that these people have to leave. They're special guests. Please give them a nice gift. So the king awarded them wealth, great wealth. And he also gave them a royal escort out of the kingdom with some soldiers. So as they were leaving the kingdom, they were still envious of Jayadev Goswami. They wanted to get him in trouble. So when they were just about to leave the soldiers, they told the head. They said, you know, we're Vaishnavas, but we want to tell you something about that Jayadev. I think you should know something about this man. He's an evil person. Previous to becoming Vaishnav mendicants, we worked for a king of another place. In this kingdom, the king understood that he was a very evil-minded criminal. So much so that he ordered us to give him capital punishment. Therefore, we cut up his hands and cut up his feet and threw him in a well to die on the order of the king. So watch out for him. It says in Srimad Bhagavatam that Mother Earth, she can bear any type of burden. She can even bear the burden of the Pacific Ocean. How much water is in the Pacific Ocean? She can bear all the Himalayan mountains with no problem at all. But the earth cannot bear the weight of a person who is not truthful. So she demonstrated on this occasion. As soon as those men told this vicious lie about Jayadev Goswami, Mother Earth opened up and swallowed them.
they just, the earth opened up, closed and crushed them. They were finished, never to be seen again. The soldiers, they were really amazed by this. Where did they go? They were eaten by the earth. So they went back and told the king. And the king was very curious. He called Jayadeva Goswami and said, do you know anything about these people? And Jayadeva Goswami explained the whole story. He said, what you have to know, my dear king, is the nature of a devotee is to forgive. Without forgiveness, one cannot be forgiven. How many offenses have we committed in this life and in previous lives? How many sinful activities have we involved ourselves in? If we are not willing to forgive others for their offenses to us, then we will not be forgiven for the offenses we have committed. According to the 9th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that of all the qualities of a Brahman, forgiveness is prominent. And Srila Prabhupada, he describes how this quality of forgiveness is ornament that decorates the character of a real devotee. Jayadeva told the king, a saintly person, no matter what injustices are committed to him, he is forgiving. A saintly person wants to respect everyone and wants to serve. This is a practical example of the glorious verse, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sagad. One should be more humble than the blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, eager to offer all respect to others and not expect any respect for oneself. In this consciousness, we can be in a spirit where Krishna will empower us to chant the holy names constantly.
Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Hare.
A devotee lives by this verse. Tatenukampam susamikshamano bunjana evamikam. From 10th canto of Bhagavat. That when suffering comes upon me, I think that this is due to my own previous misdeeds. Actually, I deserve much worse. But by the Lord's mercy, he's just giving me small sample of what I really deserve. And in that grateful, humble, respectful state of consciousness, not blaming anyone else for his miseries except himself, that devotee with folded palms offers his obeisances to Krishna with a grateful heart. One who is able to do that, he alone, liberation is his rightful claim. Jayadeva Goswami explained that it is the nature of devotee to respect everyone, to see the good in everyone, to forgive whatever injustices has come upon us. But it's the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, that he will not tolerate offenses against his devotees. Therefore,
through the earth, he punished them. There are so many stories in this regard of how devotee forgives, but the Lord punishes. Narottam Das Thakur, in one song, he's praying to the great Vaishnavas. The nature of a Vaishnav is so much that by bathing many, many times in Ganga, you can be relieved of your sins. But just by seeing a great Vaishnav, the same result is achieved. By offending Krishna, somehow or other, if you chant the holy names, you'll be purified. But if you offend a Vaishnav, there's no salvation. Unless that Vaishnav forgives. And unless you beg forgiveness. Because those who take shelter of Krishna are most dear to Krishna. So Jayadev Goswami, he revealed to us by his actions and by his words what we should strive to achieve. Because we study philosophy, we perform our rituals and our pujas, but the real fruit of our sadhana, of our bhajan, is that we develop these types of qualities. The qualities of amani namanadena, of being respectful in all and expecting no respect for oneself. In that disposition of servitude, Krishna showers the perfection of life upon us, which is pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Supreme Truth, Krishna. Are you satisfied, Janani Vastra? I'm trying to speak something, but Janani Vas Prabhu, just by his glance, all the conclusions of the Vedas are given to us. We all have this experience, do we not? If you had this experience, please chant Hari Bol. He is truly servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Radha Madhava. At this time, we would like to request Janani Vas Prabhu to speak something to enlighten us.
Om Magyanam Timurandasya. Kanan janan shalakaya thakshuran manitan jina tasmai sri guru. This state of consciousness that His Holiness Radha Maharaj is describing of a devotee, it comes when one surrenders himself completely to the lotus feet of Krishna. He surrenders his mind. This is not such an easy thing to do, because we have a gross body, and that is not so difficult to put tilaks and kunti malu and dhoti and chant Hare Krishna. We've done the bhat before Guru and Krishna. But we also have a subtle body, consisting of mind, intelligence, ankara. But it's more difficult to surrender. Because in this subtle body, in which the mind is most prominent, we have been associating with this subtle body since time immemorial. These gross bodies we are giving up one after another, even though there's a lot of attachment, but still we are forced to give them up and accept another one. But the same subtle body is with us throughout our whole existence. When we're in bodies of humans or animals or birds or trees. So there's so much attachment to that subtle body because that mind has been the source of my so-called pleasure. So extreme attachment is there. The feeling of I can do as I like, I can choose what I like, this independence. My mind feels absolutely free to do anything and everything it wants. And when we understand that, it's also the cause of our bondage in the material world, the greatest source of bondage. And even we try to do something about it, we realize it's very, very independent, very stubborn, the mind, to take to Krishna consciousness. So it is only, or we can take to Krishna consciousness, but still the mind will say, I want to do it how I want to do it. I want to be a devotee how I like to be a devotee. So it's only when we actually come to the point of completely surrendering our mind to come to that point of surrendering is that we have to make that decision that I really do want to give my mind to Krishna. Even though I think this is my great source of everything I do, it's the center of my life. In fact, more or less I identifying with the mind. And I will give completely to Krishna. I've tried for millions and millions of births to enjoy without Krishna. And now even with Krishna, I still have desires for enjoyment, even spiritual enjoyment. But now I want to completely give this mind in the service of Krishna and let him use me as an instrument. When we can come actually to make this decision, earnestly make this decision, then we can actually begin to take shelter. For actually we cannot surrender our mind to Krishna. We are too much attached, we are too much conditioned. Actually, it's impossible. Mama maya duratyaya. Conditioning, it's so difficult to overcome. But when we become determined to give our mind to Krishna, at that moment, from that time, we have to learn to take complete shelter of the holy name. And by the potency of the mercy of the holy name, he will help us. Because factually for the pure devotees, they don't even use the mind. That Krishna reciprocates with them directly. And Krishna's energy is Saladini Shakti. And the Sambit potency, they will interact with the devotee and they will take the place of the mind. Because actually we don't need the material mind. Krishna says mind, intelligence, sankara and the five buddhas, these are my material elements. So actually we don't even need that mind. But Krishna actually reciprocates And it appears as if he's reciprocating, and we are reciprocating with Krishna through the functions of the mind, but actually it's not a fact. Krishna is completely transcendental. He cannot reciprocate with material instruments. So these great devotees are ones who have actually learned that secret of completely surrendering their minds to Krishna and taking complete shelter of the holy name and depending on the holy name that they can completely surrender. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur often used to use that quote, he would say, "It's your minds I want. Give me your minds, not just your words and dhanabad. I want your mind." But it's very difficult to, because of our attachment. But when we come to that mature understanding that I have to surrender my mind to Krishna, and then I will realize that the only way I can do it is that I have to take shelter of the holy name to help me. Otherwise, it's impossible. Jayadeva Goswami is not an ordinary person, of course. He was sent here before the Lord came to perform his pastimes, as many great souls were sent previously, specifically to compose these wonderful poems, specifically Gita Govinda. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed that, "When I come, I will constantly relish your Gita Govinda." And Jagannath also wanted Jayadev to be there. Why? Because he wanted to relish Gita Govinda. So these are this great soul was setting the or establishing the pure Vaishnava teachings, the pure Vaishnava mentality. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, then he would have some literatures to discuss with his devotees. So these great Vaishnavas were actually were sent previously and great poets. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have many nice poems to discuss. Jagannath, he loved this poem so much. And it became very famous, the Gita Govinda. So much that everybody was singing and attracted. And there was one Muslim also learned this poem. And he was a very nice singer also. He was also a devotee of Jagannath. And he was riding on his horse, galloping past the Jagannath temple, and he was chanting Jayadev's glorious song, Gita Govinda. Jagannath and Balaram Subhadra, their eyes became very wide. He sang that song. Who is that beautiful song? They couldn't resist. They immediately left. They went running after that man to follow him, who's chanting that beautiful song. Gujarat, so where has Jagannath gone? Where is he gone? So they run back to get. They chased him. And they had to capture Jagannath, restrain him, that he was so attracted by the sweet songs of Jayadev. So then they said, "Jagannath, you please come back. You never have to leave. We'll perform for you every night Gita Govinda service." To this day also they are doing, every night they are chanting. "So you don't have to leave again. Don't worry, you can stay here." And it's also Jayadeva Goswami, he wrote a book, Chandika, something Chandika. I haven't read the book, but someone was translating it and they told me that in that book Jayadeva Goswami also speaks of Navadvip Dham, and he predicts the something of the future, and he predicts the Adbhuta Mandir that will be built, which Nityananda Prabhu has also revealed to us. And he says that he gives the name actually of the predominating deities who will be in that Adbhuta Mandir. Can anybody guess what the names of the deities will be? Radha Madhav ki. So it seems very significant.
Did he tell the name of the pujari?
It seems very significant how Srila Prabhupada established Radha Madhav there. In fact, there were three sets of deities, the same as Radha Madhava given to Srila Prabhupada when he was in Vrindavan, one life member, Mr. Dalmia. And Srila Prabhupada gave one set to sent to Boston and one to Berkeley. And this Radha Madhava he kept with him. And that's when he was making his first tour with his American disciples, foreign disciples. And they were going different places, Benares and Allahabad and Gorakhpur. And it was in Gorakhpur. There's actually the description of that in the songbook, ISKCON songbook, there is a description of that song. And the little note was there when Prabhupada was in Gorakhpur. He was started chanting this song. And then he went into an internal consciousness for some time. And then after some time he came again external. And he was saying, this is a picture of Vrindavan, because everything is here, Radha Madhava, Govardhan, Jamuna, Jasoda, Nanda. And from that time on, then he would chant that song, Jaya Radha Madhava, before every lecture. As far as I understand, that was the initial, or the actual installation of Radha Madhava. I never heard of any other official ritualistic installation of those deities. But Prabhupada recognized and chanted that song. And then it became, even today, we always chant Jaya Radha Madhava before every lecture. And he was... Then finally they got to Calcutta in their tours, and Srila Prabhupada said that the deities can stay here now. This was even before we had the land in Mayapur. This was in 69-70. Then in 71 we had actually got the first piece of land in Mayapur. And then as if ordained, Srisi Radha Madhava, they went to Mayapur at that time, and they were presiding over the first International Society for Krishna Consciousness Gaupurnima Festival in 1972. So when the festival had finished and everybody was leaving and going back to their destinations, and Prabhupada said, where is Radha Madhava? And they said, Prabhupada, they're in the little trunk, we're taking back to Calcutta. He said, no. Now they have come to Mayapur, they must stay here. They should always stay here now. Actually, they left one other time in the middle of 1972. Actually, it was that Hyderabad function, they had some land there. And so they had a big program there and they wanted to take some deities. And they thought, well, Radha Madhava was a very nice size because everybody had to see them. Otherwise, in Calcutta, we have very small deities and they wouldn't be so suitable for the big program. So they took Radha Madhava to that program. There's a famous picture of Prabhupada and he's got his eyes closed. He's sitting on a very elaborate Vyasa shrine, very gorgeous. And in the background, you can see there's a small Radha Krishna and Gauranga is there. That is actually Radha Madhava. They presided over that program also. So when Prabhupada was chanting, he came out to give the lecture and he chanted. And then he was looking and he said, who is these deities? And they said, it's Radha Madhava from Mayapur. He said, why they have come here? He said, I sent them to Mayapur. And they have to stay in Mayapur. Now immediately after this program, you send them back. They never leave Mayapur again. So it seems very significant that how Jayadeva has predicted, and Srila Prabhupada also has arranged for Sisi Radha Madhava to be in Mayapur. And he gave us the dimensions and everything for Big Radha Madhava, how they should be carved from black stone, and Radharani should be from white. And he gave us the sizes and poses. So this appears that the predictions of all the previous acharyas are coming true, and so we should consider ourselves very fortunate that we are intimately connected with such a sampradaya who are very purely executing the desires of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna. And we should always feel that there is absolutely no danger in Krishna consciousness, as long as we stick simply to the principles as Srila Prabhupada has given us. There will be so many upheavals, that is a fact. But we should understand that we are protected and guided by all these great previous acharyas. In the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada says that the activities of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are personally directed by Rupa Goswami and his followers. So there shouldn't be anything that should sway our faith away from what Srila Prabhupada has given us. There will be many things that will come up and try to slacken our faith or try to divert it or put it into somewhere else. And many, many offers of higher spiritual life, greater understanding, greater realization. These are very great temptations that will be presented by many so-called Vaishnavas even. But we should always know that we are very much protected by these great devotees in our line, and we simply stick to them. And everything will turn out fine. We have to leave the body sometime or another. So we have to have a shelter that is permanent. So the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and all the great devotees in his line are internal potency, or they are places we can be confident that we can put our complete shelter. And despite all things that were sure to happen in Kali Yuga, they must happen. We can always feel that protection. And actually nothing can harm us. Nothing can fear us. We have that guarantee from Krishna, Mahasujaha. We have it from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have it from all of his followers. So our ambition is to simply surrender completely our minds to the will of the previous acharyas. simply by executing their instructions and spreading Krishna consciousness. We will achieve the greatest thing, treasure in life. And simultaneously, we will give so many other people an opportunity to take shelter of this wonderful movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sisi Radha Gopinath Ju ki, Sisi Radha Madhav ki, Sisi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Sisi Radhanath Maharaj ki. Nitai go Premanandi. Thank you.
Would you like to speak now or after Kirtan?
Once upon a time, or rather way back in 1973, the Jhu temple was the wild forest, you know, just had a, we're living in the hut and wild forest. And Prabhupada has, to, where my office is there above that, Prabhupada was staying, BBT building. And in the night, Prabhupada's schedule up to 11, he started writing his books. And during his writing of books, because it was a wild forest, so many dogs would fight, you know, and their voice comes to Prabhupada's dictaphone. So next morning, those who are transcribed, mainly I remember Paramahansa and Parivrata Chakra Swami were their transcriber, they would complain, they hear more dog bark than the Prabhupada voice. So I've been appointed to chase the dogs out, you know, whole night. Every night. But after a couple of nights, dog become my friend because he recognized me as their friend. I would give them some prasad, they're still around, but don't bark, you know, just keep quiet and friendly atmosphere. So one, I would do for almost in a month, winter, you know, and everything, I'm the raining and everything. So one Prabhupada come at 11 at his reading, writing room, we put on the lights, I know Prabhupada is there till his light is on, till 3 or 4 in the morning. So one morning, one evening night he comes, after 10 minutes he called me from the window, Haridas, go sleep. Okay, I gone to sleep. Next morning I said, Prabhupada, that means that particular day, Prabhupada finished the translation of the teaching of Queen Kanti in Bombay, he finished. And Prabhupada said, I said, Prabhupada, I had a wonderful service chasing out all the animals in the night, and I like it. Now I don't have to do because he finished this book and he's leaving. Next, in few days, he scheduled to leave. Then he said, who said he have no more duty to chase out the animals from Hare Krishna land? He said, all your life, you have to chase out the two-legged animals who will come to this Hare Krishna land. So from that day, I become a self-made police. So my nature become like that. Please forgive me.
Please always accept me as your dog.
Oh, awesome. So do I expect 500 pieces from today? I mean, the 80% gross sale goes to Radha Gopinath. These are business turn, but I like to have happiness turn here. I mean, do I hear yes or no? What?
Yes.
Good.
Will you offer your heartfelt blessings upon everyone who buys?
I don't know whether I have that, but I'll definitely beg Prabhupada to bless them. And Radhana Swami and Radha, my godbrother. You know, there's a story. He has taken a ride from me after my mother in Mayapur, Didima. He's looking after. He's taking a ride from me when she died. He will be there, do all the rituals. I'm not allowed to come and see the rituals. He'll do the after death of a lady.
You know.
No, I just remember seeing him. He's taken a ride from me after my mother died in Mayapur. He will do all the rituals. I'm not allowed to come there. So he has a rights. Okay, so their blessing, everybody's blessing comes with the autograph. Maharaj agreed to sign the autograph, all the 500 pieces, what you want. Huh? Okay, I'll get that. So, but today I just brought 150, so I expect that. The next will plead be there on the order form. So, Well, if you allow me to talk, I'll go on squeezing your money in my pocket. So, please have me stop. You know.
Haridas Prabhu is the only one allowed to do fundraising in our temple room.
Okay, the gentleman asked the...
Because his business tactics are so pleasing to the heart.
But this I do only after finish the production. During production, I really like to shuck everybody, you know, steal from everybody. But after production, I like to be generous. There's no escape way. Okay, the price, one more. It may be in a window sale, maybe 200 rupees or little less than 200 rupees, but today you get 100 rupees. An autograph with Maharaj.
And blessings of Haridas Prabhu.
I'm finished.
If Janani Vas Prabhu signs it also, it will make very attractive.
Okay. Agreement. Janani Vas Prabhu signed up. Extra bonus.
He's torturing both of us.
But when the fruit come, we all enjoy that. Radha Gopinath have a nice, another set of dress maybe, I don't know. Astashaki and everything. We have also next project. We talked to Maharaj and Gauranga. We'll have to make a still photography on the Astashaki. So we'll make it a big wall side poster. Everybody can have the Astashaki in your wall. Big, big things. Very well concept things going to be. So, am I finished now for?
Yes.
Thank you. Otherwise, I'll keep on. Yeah, if you don't stop me, I'll keep on.
Haridas Prabhu ki. Let us perform Sankirtan.